General Orders Number 11 on December the 17th, 1862, was an order expelling, quote, Jews as a class from General Grant's war zone, which at that time was quite significant, large parts of Kentucky and Tennessee, and the whole area, the Department of the Tennessee, from northern Mississippi to Cairo, Illinois, and from the Mississippi River to the Tennessee River. And all of those Jews were told that they were expelled from the department within 24 hours from the receipt of that order.
And why did he issue this order?
Well, the official reason was that Jews were violating regulations of trade. In other words, that they were smuggling. Unquestionably, some Jews, like many non-Jews, were smuggling. But because some Jews were smuggling, he decided to expel all Jews from his war zone. But there was also a proximate cause, or the occasion for the order. We now know that Grant's own father, Jesse Grant, had cooked up a scheme with several Jewish clothing manufacturers in Cincinnati, whereby he would use his son and get them permission through Ulysses to ship cotton from Mississippi to New York, and he'd get 25% of the profit for obtaining the permits and helping move the cotton. They'd keep the rest. Well, of course, when Ulysses heard that, he had a temper tantrum, and he went out and issued this order, according to an eyewitness. In a sense, instead of expelling his father, he expelled the Jews. Grant felt that if you could fully blockade the South, the war would be over much sooner.
And how prevalent was Judaism in this area that Grant commanded?
There are a few thousand Jews in the area Grant commanded, most of them in Memphis. And the interesting thing is that only a small number of Jews actually were expelled, because Grant's forces were attacked soon after the order was issued, and the telegraph lines were cut. And as a result of that, it took a long time for the order to be distributed. By the time the order became known, at least one of those Jews expelled, a Jew from Paducah named Caesar Caskell, had been able to get down to Washington and display the order, and Abraham Lincoln reversed it.
And Lincoln at the time was busy working on his own proclamation that he would issue a few weeks later.
Mm-hmm. And note the irony, yes, just as Lincoln is freeing the slaves, Grant is expelling the Jews. And people noted that irony at the time. Indeed, there were even some rabbis who feared, Jews are going to be the next persecuted minority in the United States. That's why I think there was such an unprecedented effort uniting the community in an effort to reverse this order.
And during Reconstruction and in the years after the war, there was this fear among the Jews. And what actually panned out? What was the experience of the Jews versus the experience of the freed slaves after the Civil War?
Well, when General Grant runs for president in 1868, so there certainly were Jews who thought, wow, the man who expelled Jews as a class is going to be a president. What's he going to do now? And there was a great deal of uncertainty. There were some Jews who said, no, it was all a mistake. And there were others who were horrified. And, of course, the other party, the Democratic Party, did want to undo Reconstruction. So you were sort of caught if you supported the Republican policies on Reconstruction and were Jewish. You know, do I vote for the party or do I vote against the man who would expel Jews as a class from his war zone? But once Grant is elected, he apologizes for that order. It's really an unprecedented letter that he sends out, in which he says, I do not pretend to sustain that order. Dissociates himself from it, insists he wants to treat everybody as an individual, and Grant not only writes that, he actually fulfills it as president, appointing more Jews to public offices probably than all the previous presidents combined. And Grant is also the first American president to attend the opening of a synagogue. And again, all of these made a statement about how he had changed, how he had repented, in a sense, of his earlier deeds. And the Jewish community really accepted that. When he runs even for a second term, they vote for him in large numbers. And when he dies in 1885, he's mourned across the country in synagogues.
This book comes at a time we've seen over the last few years a reexamining of Grant's presidency and reassessing of his place among the stature of the great presidents and even his role in shaping the 19th century. Where do you think this book fits in, and do you think that this reassessment is something that's overdue?
I think that the book does fit in with that reassessment. Many of the books, say Jean Edward Smith's book, you know, will reassess Grant and say, oh, but on the matter of Jews, he really was deeply prejudiced, and that was a blot on his record. And my book, I think, demonstrates that even in that area, it turns out that Grant was something of a changed person, and we need to look at the totality of his career. And I think anyone who reads Grant's papers, which are now online, comes away, as I came away, deeply impressed with this man. And this is a case where when you read the private letters, your view of the human being is really enhanced. It's not always that way with our American presidents, but in this case, the private man is a deeply moral, ethical person. And in this case, you can really see him seeking to make amends for what he saw was an act taken in haste and, as they say, repented at leisure.
Adam Gopnik wrote that in a book about Abraham Lincoln, that attitudes certainly change over time, and it's best not to think of attitudes as right if that's what the majority of people at the time think, but we should look to what the most advanced people of their time thought in a lot of these cultural attitudes. Do you think that Grant was one of the leaders in his attitude against anti-Semitism even later in life?
By the end of his life, he's well in advance, I think, of many of his countrymen, both in his attitude toward black Americans and also in his attitude toward Jews. We generally imagine that the view of America's Judeo-Christian, Protestant, Catholic, Jew is a post-World War II phenomenon. But Grant is articulating some of those ideas in his last years. He so proudly writes to his son about how the Protestant, the Catholic, and the Jew all pray for my recovery from cancer, clearly viewing all as part of the fabric of American religious life. None of them were, to his mind, outsiders, and indeed he had visitors from the full range of clergy in even his last days. So I do think that Grant had a much broader sense of who could be an American and what America might be, and it took a long time for the rest of the citizens to catch up, and a lot of unhappy things took place before Americans came back to a vision of America that was closer to the vision that I think characterized Grant in his last years.